Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that great? Amen. So turn your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Recently, the United States Army withdrawn an invitation to evangelist Franklin Graham, some of you heard this, to speak on a special Pentagon prayer service next month that is coming up for the National Day of Prayer. Because of his controversial view on Islam, which is pointed out that Islam is evil religion. So he was axed. April 15, 2010, U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb in Wisconsin ruled the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional. April 14, 2009, according to Secretary Janet Napolitano of the Department of Homeland Security, she declared the returning veteran possess combat skills and experience that are attractive to the right-wing extremists who uphold the Second Amendment to bear arms. Among the right-wing extremists, anyone who is for pro-abortion legislation and limited government and legal and versus illegal immigration, fundamental Christian, that's me, and potential domestic terrorist threat. So I guess all of you are domestic terrorists, right? According to Napolitano's standard. June 28, 2006, by the time he was a senator, well, Senator Obama said, whatever you once we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. And he added, at least not just, we are also Jewish nation, Muslim nation, Buddhist nation, and Hindu nation, and nation of non-believers. The way I look at it, he said it's not a Christian nation, and then he said, let me think about it. Maybe I better add something. So at least not just. And he added, you are wrong again, Mr. President. Whether you like to admit it or not, 84% of American population claim that whether they are born again or not, they claim that they are Christian. Last time when I checked, 84% is quite a majority, don't you think? Ever since President Obama and his extreme liberal Democrat got the executive branch and the Congress, somehow the threat against Christians became a norm. As it was winked at, it's highly encouraged by some government agency as well as lamestream media. And so now we are under persecution. However, to compare with that, I know some of you are for liberal side, some of you, majority of you are not, but some of you might be. Bear with me. Let's compare the so-called persecution in America against Christianity with this. April 11, 2010, not very long ago. Officers from Ministry of Information of Iran arrested and imprisoned 19 years old Daniel Shuhari, and he's a Christian, indefinitely Isfahan, Iran, 13th, April 13th this year. Pastor Ishaku Kala and his wife in the Wota village, Bauchi State, Nigeria, were abducted from their home and killed by the suspected Islamic extremists. And their burned bodies were discovered hours after their abduction. April 14th, did you notice how close they are? April 14th, 2010, plainclothes officers from the Ministry of Information arrested house church pastor and 10 other men in Karaz, Iran. They were having a Bible study at his home, and Pastor Irani was reportedly assaulted and was transported to an undisclosed location. April 17, 2010, Hindu extremists attacked a group of 400 Christians at prayer meeting in Madhya Pradesh, India, causing death of a 25 years old, that he was a seminary student, and severely injuring 3 other believers. What our brothers and sisters around the other side of the world going through is far more than what we go through here. To compare, in comparison with what they go through, what we're facing is nothing more than a little harassment. Let's start at the verse 10 of chapter 3, and we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all good things, and you never change like a shifting shadows. We know that you move as we pray, accomplishing wonders with your majestic and mighty power. Remind us as we bow our hearts and head before you, there is none one thing beyond your control, including persecutions against your people around the world. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted physically, mentally, emotionally. You may empower them, encourage them, fill their heart with the Holy Spirit, and provide what they need. And we ask you to do the same for us as we study your word. And we pray for President Obama's salvation, that he may know Jesus as a Savior and Lord, that he may do what is right in your sight instead of evil things. And we also pray for our troops who are in harm's way especially. We're asking you, you willing, keep them safe, and then you bring them back as victors to their families, to their homes, to their neighbors. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, like Pastor Merrill, who fighting against this wildfire, and many of our congregation who are law enforcement personnel. We ask you to watch over them. And we also lift up Don Marion, who often go into in harm's way because of his position, asking you to watch over him. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life. Apostle Paul speaking to his spiritual son Timothy here. Propose faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. The Lord knows what we truly are, even if we don't know and other people don't know. But if you spend every day with somebody for many years, you tend to get to know that person. That's why our spouse tend to know us a whole lot better than ourselves in many cases. By now, Timothy has been with the Apostle Paul for many years. They literally had gone through a good time as well as extreme difficulties together. If there were anyone who would know about Apostle Paul, that would have been Timothy. And together, they've been there, done that. And they know, Timothy knows about Apostle Paul in depth like no other people. What this Apostle Paul is doing is giving a living example to his spiritual son, Timothy. When I was a baby Christian about 23 years ago, I was reading the Bible, and when I came across 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Let's go there. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. If you have a New King James Version, or King James says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. If you have a New International Version, says, follow my example as I follow the Lord Jesus. At that time, I thought, well, Apostle Paul is rather cocky for him to tell Corinthian people, follow my example. I thought, who does think he is? And then I read the second half, as I also follow Christ. See, that we all need a godly model to do what Christ tells us to do from the Bible. The disciples of Jesus Christ had the highest privilege, in my opinion, because they watched him 3 years, day in, day out, how he prayed throughout the night to the Father, time after time, and how he talked with the people, how he interacted with the people, especially the lowly and downcast. At the same time, At the same time, he was stern and in your face to the religious leaders, such as Pharisees and Sadducees. They had a privilege. Since Christ is no longer available because he was taken up to the heaven, now Apostle Paul is there to give an example, living example to the Timothy, to other people. This is how you're supposed to live. Apostle Paul has a right, he earned the right to say, follow my example as I follow Jesus Christ. In other words, Apostle Paul practiced what he preached. We all heard that. You have to practice what you preach. Apostle Paul did. This does not limit to the Christian leaders whom we know. We live, we walk, and we play with the people, unbelievers around us. Do you really think that non-believer will just get up in the morning and he open his eyes and sat up on his bed and say, you know what? I'm going to be a Christian from now on. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my soul, for the rest of my life. And I will read the Bible every day and I have a daily devotion. Do you think they will actually do that? No, they won't. So where do they read? What kind of Bible do they read? You are living epistle. You are the Bible they are going to read. How you interact with them, how you respond to your own life dilemma, and more. You are writing a gospel of Jesus Christ according to you. So the book of Matthew is known as Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, right? So it would be Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Jeremy. Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Donna. Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Wayne. You put your name in there. In that case, what kinds of gospel would your family members and your coworkers read from your life? Would they read genuine gospel, or would they read gospel? It's like, I'm not so sure about this gospel. The best kinds of Christianity is not only taught, but it is also caught by seeing it lived out in other people's lives. Because what we believe will determine how we live. You with me? Let me say one more time. Because what we believe will determine how we live. You cannot just say, well, this is what Jesus said in the Bible, and then you do the other thing, and the opposite of that. That doesn't fly well. Do you know there is a word for that? Hypocrite. That's the worst kind of insult to a Christian. Verse 11, persecutions, affliction, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Since the apostle was such a nice guy with such great attribute, we read in verse 10, he must have all this welcome red carpet just rolled out in front of him everywhere he went, right? No. He did not have a good time most of the time. Let's take a look at the three incidents. At Antioch, Paul was kicked out of the city for preaching the gospel. Acts chapter 13, verse 50. At Iconium, he was almost executed by stoning. Acts 14, 5. At Lystra, they actually stoned Paul and leave him for dead. Acts 14, 19. Do you know what he did after God pretty much brought him back to life? He went back into the city. This is a total wacko. You're talking about a total Jesus freak. So many people today think that godliness means escaping persecution. I wonder how Apostle Paul would be compared with today's Christian leaders. If if he applies a job at the Christian ministry, I mean, I'm talking about big Christian ministry where they have a human resource manager, and he brings this resume, and I name Paul, apostle, and born, I don't know, whatever. He brings this resume and give it to the human resource manager. Wonder what he or she, human resource manager, would say. Probably that person would start to read. And a few things show up, such as he was a frequent regular jailbird. He's been in and out of prison so many times he cannot even remember how many times he's been in the joint. After the third missionary trip, he spent more time inside of prison than outside. If that's not bad enough, guess what? He was a death row inmate. How about that for the resume? Second thing I find is he stirred up the problem everywhere he went. How would you like to have the employee like that? Or a missionary? And he was poor and didn't care to cater to the riches. Every time he got on board, the ship sank. There is no cruise company wants to give him a ride in near the Mediterranean Sea. Royal Caribbean cruise, he ain't going to be on the board. And he has affliction, physical affliction. According to Josephus, the Jewish historian, this is what he described about the Apostle Paul. He had runny eyes, hooked nose, but then again, he was a Jew, so what do you expect, right? Bald head, slightly hunchback, and pair of bow legs. I bet you're going to see him on the cover of GQ magazine, right? Ain't going to happen. Yet, the Lord our God used him ever so mightily that he wrote the majority of the New Testament, had more influence than any other apostles, and did more miracles. God did more miracles through this man than any others, with the exception of Jesus Christ. In my opinion, Apostle Paul was literally second in command in Christianity. Verse 12, move down. Yes, and all who desire, note this underline, highlight, circle, point, arrow to there. If the person next to you is not doing that, reach out and do that to their Bible. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In other words, it's not if. If you are a Christian, you might get persecution. No. If you are a Christian, you will get persecution. How's that for the encouragement on Sunday morning? You like that? If you are willing to do what the Lord tells you to do through the Bible, you can count on persecution one way or another. Yes, whoever desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Some of you may think, see what I mean? That's why I don't want to be a red-hot Christian. I'll be persecuted. Well, guess what, Buckaroo? It's so much better to be a red-hot Christian on earth and get persecuted temporarily than red-hot burning unbeliever in hell and get tortured eternally. That's some option. As we've learned at the beginning of this study, Christians are being persecuted all over the world. Now, it's happening in America. As many of you know, that I've been praying for the persecution against American Christians for some time. Let me put it this way. I strongly believe that Satan's persecution will not hurt Christianity, but rather it will cleanse and purify the body of Jesus Christ in America. As I said before, 84% of American people say they are Christian, but their only 31% says they are born-again Christians. If this is the first time to our church, and you think you are a Christian, but you are not born again Christian, you are not a Christian according to the Bible. If it's a rude awakening, you might as well know. It's better for you to know now and get saved and not know about it, end up in hell. We may not face such a violent or even economic persecutions in our culture in America. But there is a great deal of social persecution. Probably you're facing already. And Christian must deal with. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. In regard to this, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of the dissipation, speaking evil of you. They is non-believers. As apostles faced the persecutions against them, they didn't ask. They didn't ask God to remove the persecution, nor did they ask Him to get them out of it. Rather, they asked Him to help them endure through it. Because they understood God's SOP. Some of you guys know this meaning, Standard Operating Procedure. It's a kind of military term. God uses trials and persecutions against us in our lives to refine us as a goldsmith refined gold through extreme heat. Remember the song we just Mark sang, the refiner's fire. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 18. Anybody is kind of in a la la land? Everybody staying awake? Okay. I can come up close and personal. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded, they is us religious leaders, and called apostles, command them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Move down to verse 23, please. Being let go, apostles, went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God, and they cried, get us out of here, right? No. With one accord, that's not Honda, said that the Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Move down to verse 29. Lord, look on their threats and grant your servant, here's the kicker, that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit to do what is right in the sight of God. These people, apostles and the disciples of Jesus Christ, they did not bail out because the persecution is ahead. They would be the natural for us, being sinful we are, for us to ask this question, is there any other way or any easier way than persecution? Do you know, I think this is what the Father in heaven would do. He would smile as he would say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you the end of the days. While we pray, we wait upon the Lord. While we wait upon the Lord, we gain the strength of God. While we gain the strength of God, we get to understand the will of God and become obedient to His will over ours. You follow me? Prayer, don't have that mystic idea about prayer, and don't have that idea about some of the denominations just name it, and God is there just to do it for you. Find me that reference from this. Don't go there in the Second Opinion, chapter 6. Okay? God does not owe to you. Do you think he's some sort of bellhop? You just give him some tip and he will just do it at your beck and call? No, he doesn't do that. God is a God, not bellhop. When we boil down all the persecution against Christianity, it becomes temporary, physical, and emotional inconvenience. Isn't that true? Oh yeah, it will hurt. I'll be the first one to admit it. If somebody tried to torture me out there, I'll cry like a little baby or a little girl, because I'm a wuss when it comes to pain. But would I deny Jesus? No. Over my dead body. Go for it. If the Lord chooses to take us through the persecution of the evil ones, don't get upset that you would go off on your ways. After all, I'm sure you heard this poem, I am the captain of my own ship. There's a Greek word, hogwash. You are not. If you are born again Christian, you are not a captain of your own ship. Jesus is. He is the captain. He knows where he's going. Ship belongs to him. You are mere cargo. He will lead you through the storm of your life. I don't know what's going to happen in the landscape of American politics. November 2010 and 2012. As much as Republicans and Democrats like to think that they can control America as well as the whole world. No. It's completely under the control of God. If God doesn't say you won't and you will, nobody can. I'm not encouraging you to do nothing against evil people's work that is happening in this country. I'm asking you to do something. Great British statesman Edmund Burke said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Don't complain after you choose not to vote because you don't like a candidate. Sometimes you have to vote for someone to stop the other side. I'd encourage you to make sure that your value of your faith to be known to the representative in the Congress as well as the political systems. Go vote. Do your civil duty. And some of you are thinking, oh no, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to register as a voter. Because if I do, then I'm going to be selected as a jury. Do you drive? If you have a driver license, guess what? You are in that pool already. I verified with the sheriff deputy last night. And he says, oh yeah, it's in. Listen. This is very important. If we are now willing to be rejected by some for the sake of Jesus Christ, and if we are now willing to be an outcast before some people, then you can never be a true follower of Jesus Christ. You with me? Remember what the Bible, Jesus said? If you deny me, Jesus speaking, I will, what does it say? Deny you. Is that clear enough for you? You deny Jesus, he will deny you. Is it worth to you for to be a popular? In verse 13, evil man refers to the obvious open enemy of Jesus. And impostor refers to the who look religious or fine, and many think of as a fine person, but they are actually destructive force among the Jesus followers. They may smell like it, they may smell like a Christian, they look like a Christian, they talk like a Christian, but they are imposters. Let's make two applications. Number one, since you are surrounded by other Christians here, you might feel secure against upcoming persecutions. But if you don't stay in the Word of God daily, if you don't stay in the Word of God daily, due to the lack of a firm foundation of God's Word in your heart, you will crumble under persecution. It's not too late to build your faith on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, through His Word. Do a daily devotion. Pastor Jack, do we still have a daily bread? If you don't have our daily bread, daily devotional booklet, please stop by there. Again, it's free. We are not asking for money. Take it with you. Have a daily devotion every day. Second application, test every spirit against the Word of God. Test every spirit against the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, please. Verse 1. Before Jude, and before 2 and 3 John, it's a profound fact. I'm good at obvious things. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't just believe what you hear or what you see. Okay? So how do we test the spirit? When you read one verse and they say that this is from this verse and you see it, then what do? Read at least 5 front and back to keep it in contact. You guys remember that, right? We studied last week, right? Hello? Are you guys awake? Okay. Stand up and pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let us keenly aware that we are living in the last days, and the persecution is happening against your believers. Let our heart facing you all the time, calling into your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.